Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. We will have the President's Coronavirus Task Force news briefing coming up at some point in the next hour right here for you. And later on today, as we continue to be all local all day, I believe Mr. Beamer is going to be here again from 8 until 10. I'm pretty sure that he's going to be here. I just got to get the definitive word on that one way or the other. Anyway, you know, we're at that point. I mentioned before the 4 o'clock news break that two groups of people in particular have been complaining to me about a lack of personal protective equipment for themselves. And the two groups are corrections officers. Rambo Jim called in yesterday, and Rambo Jim was spot on. He got his point out that the corrections officers were not properly equipped to deal with this. And we did get confirmation from a couple of emailers, and I have no reason to doubt the emailers, that Rambo Jim was correct, that apparently it had something to do with the inmates' delicate feelings about seeing COs in masks, even during this time of a highly contagious bug. So that situation has been rectified and remedied, at least in theory. But in practice, the question is, if you have a CO in your family, where in the heck are you going to find an N95 mask at this point in time? You can't find them. Sandy Beach, I think, had a guy calling into his show this morning saying that because he was a painter or did something involving remodeling for a living, that he did have some extra N95 masks, which I presume he's going to keep for himself. And, you know, who could blame him? But I don't know where the COs are going to come up with N95 masks. That you got me on that one. Because the other group of people from whom I am hearing who are not real happy with their working conditions and the gear they are being provided are the people in the hospitals, particularly the RNs in our local hospitals and those who are in the front line in the battle against COVID-19. Now, I want to do a general show here for everybody about what are you most frustrated about when it comes to COVID-19? What are you most frustrated about when it comes to COVID-19? And if you have a nurse or somebody in the front lines against COVID-19, or perhaps a CO, or a police officer, a firefighter, a first responder of some other variety out there in the field, yes, I said frustrated. I've been watching a lot of English documentaries. Forgive me. The phone number is 803-0930. Shut up, Phil. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, I have tried very hard not to allow frustration to get the better of me because, frankly, I must tell you in all candor and in all honesty that despite what is going on in our area and in our country, maybe because of what is going on in our area and in our country. You guys are the best part of my entire day. Getting in here and getting a chance to speak with you guys about what's happening on the ground in Western New York is very important to me. Being able in some small way to contribute to the knowledge base about COVID-19 is also very helpful for me. And knowing that there might be people out there, because like Sandy Beach, I've been doing this a long time. Sandy's got me in seniority, but I'm getting up there. But for some of you, I know that after all these years, my voice and this show in its various guises and formats over the years has ingratiated itself, but has made some kind of a mark on your life and maybe a beacon of some sense of normalcy, thus marking the first time my voice and normalcy have ever been used in the same sentence. 803-0930 is the phone number. What has you most frustrated? Or if you prefer, frustrated. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is my frustration. I started this thought, then I went into my little spiel. My frustration is the information, because this thing is so new, that's why it's called novel coronavirus. My frustration is the guidance we are receiving seems to change by the day. Let me give you a specific example. Up until a very short while ago, we were told that only sick people should wear masks in public. Yesterday, it came out that they're considering requesting that everyone outside, whether you are sick or whether you are well, wear a mask in public. So, which theory has scientific validity to it? And also, you might have caught this story yesterday as well. We've been told 6 feet is a safe distance to be from another human being, right? Okay, 6 feet. So then this researcher, I think from MIT, does some research, and it turns out that a sneeze can actually propel COVID-19 like 27 feet into the air. And you can get it that way. So, and I agree, and by the way, this is personal opinion, I will denote that, personal opinion, I do believe that in some ways this thing is airborne under the right circumstances, and I really encourage, seriously, folks, I don't like this any more than any of you do, but I've made it clear pretty much every day I've been on the air during this that I have essentially self-quarantined myself for as long as it has been. At the first sign that this thing was, in fact, the real deal, that this thing was nothing with which to be trifled, I basically have seen nobody except the people with whom I work and one other person, and that is it. And I am, to the best of my knowledge, COVID-19 free. And keep in mind, I say that knowing that there's a possibility I could have COVID-19, but I could be asymptomatic. Who knows? And somebody else was complaining, how come you're coming into work? I'm coming into work because, number one, from the beginning of this, this radio station and this company have been very, very proactive in terms of making sanitizer available to us, in terms of making wipes available to us, in terms of, they disinfected this entire building, like medical grade disinfectant of the entire building. So every time we come in, I sanitize my hands, and I'm stupid. I splash a little on my face near my mouth and my nose. You're not supposed to do that, but like I said, did I ever mention I'm kind of a moron? But I'm being extremely, extremely careful. And as far as social distancing, there's a glass partition between Phil and myself, and I don't get too close to anybody here at the station, and they don't get too close to me. So we're doing our best to social distance. But you know what? I'm still going to have to go out and get food. I still have to go to the diet place tomorrow and get my diet food, and I'm still going to have to order from restaurants and pick it up there. but I do carry sanitizer around with me, and every time I touch something that has been touched by somebody else, I sanitize the hands. I wash the hands. My hands are starting to dry out, but I'm doing it. And I'm also, again, pretty much isolating myself. Why? For the greater good. I mean, yeah, I happen to be in a higher risk group, but I don't want to be personally the agency through which somebody else gets sick, maybe critically so. And I hope that we all have that attitude as we move along. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What has you most frustrated? Here's Bill in Gasport. Bill, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Ah, good, good, good. Got three adults and 1 3-year-old locked up in the house here. Frustrated as heck with the unemployment thing. Cannot get through.
I have an email or maybe a Facebook post from somebody who said they had to call on the phone 200 times before they actually got through.
Dude, I'm calling like 75, 80 times a day and not getting through. The local unemployment office is shut down. I call, I leave a message. They've been very helpful, but just cannot get through. I don't know what to do.
Have you tried online? Is that an option for you?
I have tried online, and it tells me I got the wrong password.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so your best option is to telephone, and you can't get through. I guess my advice, Bill, for what it's worth, and you're probably going to want to slug me, and I don't blame you, is to just keep on trying one after another, with your phone charging as you do it, because my fear is when they finally answer, that'll be when you see your phone shut down.
I did get through one time about 4 days ago, and the guy put me on hold, and the call got dropped, and it was like, are you kidding me?
I'm sure there might have been a word in between what you just said. Are you kidding me?
Words in between, but nothing I would want to say on your program because I don't want to get you in trouble and I want to be able to call back again one day.
Yeah, you're in a big boat with a lot of people, man. As far as unemployment, it has been a Mongolian cluster dance.
Yes. You know what, Tom? I want to thank you for doing what you do, for bringing the information out, for keeping us up to date. You got a great show, a great group of people that work with you, and I guess as long as they don't shut the liquor stores down, I'm okay.
Well, they are essential, as we know, because people would go into withdrawal. Thank you for your kind words. We here at WBEN, you know, we would like to thank everybody who is out there doing their jobs, the truckers, the people in the grocery stores, the doctors, the nurses, the people in charge of cleaning facilities, everybody who is out there in the front line making boxes for medical equipment. You know, you people are doing yeoman's work. And again, without the trucking industry, America comes to a stop, and all of the ancillary industries that contribute to it. Here's Maria in West Seneca. Maria, what's your biggest frustration with this whole disaster?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to bring something up. I haven't heard much about it, anyone really talking about it, but before this whole pandemic and this whole issue with the COVID and the issue with the hospitals, nobody seems to remember there were a whole bunch of us, myself included, that were scheduled for surgeries. And they've all been canceled. So we are all stuck with waiting for surgeries that are necessary and they can't be done.
Well, I guess it really depends on the surgery. I don't want to be too personal, but, for example, a week ago, Monday, I went in and had a medically necessary critical surgery involving my heart. And then I had another procedure done in the middle of last week, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the few people. I was one of two surgeries that it is very medically necessary.
What was it? Did you say, and I talked over you?
What I'm saying is, you got really lucky because I was scheduled for April 10th. I was one of the lucky ones that was still able to have it. It is a medically necessary surgery, and I myself decided that I can't possibly go in a hospital right now, but in addition to that, my doctor did call and cancel it himself today. So even though this is medically necessary and I'm probably going to have some issues if I wait too much longer, they are not doing the surgery for risk's sake. They told me it's just too risky to go in a hospital.
Well, you know what? I mean, at this point, now that we're seeing an influx of COVID-19 patients into hospitals, let's put it this way. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And unless it was absolutely positively life or death medically necessary, I wouldn't do it.
Well, that's how I felt because I did have surgery for some cancer issues back in October, and my bladder was injured. So that's what they have to repair.
Ah.
So in addition to, you know, all that crap that I did get through, you know, I got this issue going on. And to me, it's not worth it to go in a hospital and be put on a ventilator if that ever, God forbid, would have happened. So I weighed the odds, and I am going to wait. But they're not even rescheduling surgeries until June or July. So.
Well, number one, in your position, I would have made the same decision. Number two, it might be that a different urologist, I presume a urologist will be doing the surgery?
Actually, there's a urologist and a gynecologist doing it.
Ah, well, I mean, something like that, outside of a hospital situation, there are a couple of surgical centers around here where procedures are done?
Unfortunately, yeah, I didn't win in any aspect of it. Fortunately, the equipment they need is only at one hospital. It was scheduled for St. Joe's, and they moved it to Sisters because that's now the COVID hospital. I also work in healthcare, and it is a super, super scary situation. I think I work in the clerical end of it, but we are still going to work. But knowing what our providers are dealing with, I think we know too much, and I just couldn't go into a hospital right now knowing what I know.
Yeah, well, obviously, being in healthcare, you know the risks, you know the benefits, but you also know how your body is feeling, and you got to obviously take care of your bladder and the parts leading out of the bladder. I'm not sure exactly what the situation is. I'm glad you called. I wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, my two situations, the one was kind of really, really serious, and the other one was really, really serious. But I laugh about the second one. Phil laughs about it, too. It's 428 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And no, they were absolutely positively medically necessary. And no, I didn't get any special treatment because of what I do for a living. Doctor had no idea who I was anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, just whatever. All right, it is 428 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I didn't even want to go to the hospital. Believe me, if I could have avoided it, I would have avoided it. All right, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, a lot of us are frustrated, and we're frustrated about different things. The COs, for a while, were frustrated about we can't wear masks, so now they can wear masks, and then the question is, all right, where do we find them, and when can we wear them? And as I've been saying almost every day, it's like the people who are working can't understand why they're working, and some of them feel like it's unsafe, and then those who aren't working want to get back to work. Here is just a quick email. I know you guys are trying, but can we please get to the bottom of this construction fiasco? If it's okay for us to be close together, then why bother distancing anyone else? Those job sites that are left are being flooded with as many guys as possible. Is this safe, and why are they ignoring it? Yeah, I don't know. I'm shrugging my shoulders because I wish I had an answer for you. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. It is Mike in Wheatfield. Mike, thanks for holding. You're on WBEN.
In today's Buffalo News, the headline says most confirmed cases seen in those under 50. Now,
I listened to Sandy Beach this morning. He said his sister called from Florida. She drove by Daytona Beach, and they're full of packed young kids partying on the beach. Now, this reminds me of a song I heard on the radio recently called Life During Wartime by the Talking Heads. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
Well, some of the lyrics go like this. This makes it serious. This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around. No time for dancing or lovey-dovey. I ain't got time for that now.
Oh, yeah, I have heard that. Didn't know that was the name of it.
This song describes what's going on in this pandemic against the COVID-19. Then he says, I got some groceries, some peanut butter to last a couple of days, but I ain't got no speakers, ain't got no headphones, ain't got no records to play. In other words, the shortage of things like toilet paper and everything else is going on. And
all right. Thank you very much. Just so you know, anybody who recites the lyrics to Love Shack, you're being immediately hung up upon. Just if by mutual decree by Phil and your humble host. As far as the younger people, even though your chances of dying, if you have no underlying health issues, are very slight, you don't want to be a vector. Do you really want to kill your parents? Do you really want to kill your grandparents? I hope the answer is no. And I know Sandy Beach was talking the other day about a young man who, against his parents' wishes, went to spring break and partied like an animal. And his parents said, yeah, you're not coming back in the house. Sorry, but you find your own place to live. And bravo to the parents. I'm not sure how old the parents are, but as you know, the cutoff age is 50. 50 is when things start to get real. I almost said a bad word. Let's go to Gary. You know, at this point, I could probably get away with it. Gary, you're on WBEN. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
All right. My son's a CO, and he knows he's going to get the virus. I mean, he just knows it. And it's just, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I can't help them in any way. It's just, I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Gary. Given the highly contagious nature of this virus, I've been operating under the assumption that we're all going to get the virus.
Yeah.
And the key is, and people are sick of hearing this, is flattening the curve so that when our turn on the roulette wheel of COVID-19 comes up, if necessary, there will be a ventilator for us. And maybe if it's proven to be efficacious, hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak.
You know, that's all nice. That sounds good. But, you know, what are we going to do in the meantime?
Well, as far as your son is concerned, is he under 50?
Yes.
And does he have any underlying health issues? Is he morbidly obese?
No, he's in good shape.
Yeah.
He's concerned about bringing it here to my house.
Well, then, seriously, with all respect, given the situation that he's in as a CO, no. And obviously you are over the age of 50, you can't see him.
That's right, and he knows it. And again, it's a hurt all the way around. It's hard.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, I feel like I've said the same thing every day for 3 weeks, but when the reality of this thing became clear, I called my mom and I said, Mom, in your interest, I will not see you until this is over.
That's right. You know, and again, it's just they're not taking care of those COs. I mean, what would they do if they all did go out, or a majority of them?
Oh, we'd be in a world of hurt.
Right. They couldn't bring in the Army or the National Guard or anything because, you know, they wouldn't know how to handle. You know,
no, that is such a highly specialized and skilled thing. We have to take care of our COs. And look, nobody gets everything 100% right in a situation like this. Right. But the Department of Corrections, in my opinion, they dropped the ball.
Absolutely. And their union, too. I would stop paying union dues. Try to, anyway.
I don't know enough about the COs union and the politics in that to have an intelligent opinion.
Nah, I don't either, but just from what I see. I mean, my wife bought him Boost, you know, so when he does get sick, at least we can pump some Boost into him, you know, to keep him some vitamins in him and stuff.
Yeah, again, I'm not sure if that does anything to help the body ward off COVID-19, but, you know, again, your son, young, good shape, even if he gets it, statistically, the odds are so in his favor. The only hardship for you is you can't see him right now.
Right, and that is the only one, because we've all talked about it. We know, you know, he can't come around, or his son, or anything, you know.
Right, absolutely.
You know, we know all that. All right.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate the call. All yeah, right. And seriously, if you are a younger and healthy person, no underlying health issues, you got to stay away from your parents. I'm sorry, but it just makes sense. And Governor Cuomo talked about this with his mother, Matilda, and his brother, Chris, who is subsequently tested positive for COVID-19. You know, you basically, a big part of flattening the curve is going to be to make sure that the most vulnerable people don't get exposed to COVID-19. You know, yeah, a lot of young people are getting it. Some young people are ending up in the ICU. Statistically, the younger people are still in far better shape of surviving COVID-19 and maybe even not even having any symptoms of COVID-19. You know, for that matter, there have been cases of people who are octogenarians and older who have had asymptomatic cases of COVID-19. But even if they're asymptomatic, they don't want to give it to the person.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In the same retirement home, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Everybody in order. It's Chris on a car phone. Chris, you're on. Hello. Chris,
I'm calling. I listened to the guy talk about unemployment, and I'm a little different situation. I actually had a reduction in force layoff about a week before all this hit the fan, and managed to get everything applied for, everything put through, and there was a holdup for it. So for the last, I don't know, a week or so, I've been calling probably 100 times a day trying to get through to them, to the point where I reached a level of frustration where I actually started emailing out the state senator and assemblyman for my area, and they were very responsive with getting back to me, somebody from their office, and reaching out to the DMV. I'm sorry, not DMV, Department of Labor. And luckily this morning, though, I actually finally did get through, and it turns out everything's been held up over a month over a computer programming issue.
Oh.
So I've had 4 weeks of unemployment sitting there racking up over a computer programming issue because the claim adjuster who I talked to didn't go through and fully do what he needed to do.
Oh, brother, that sucks. It's difficult enough to deal with the state, much less in a situation like this.
Stuff released.
Yeah, dude, you've got my sympathies because, I mean, just like dealing with Easy Pass, if you've ever had to make a simple call to Easy Pass, it sometimes is not easy to convince them that you didn't really drive to New York City last night.
No.
And your situation is a lot more serious, and then you don't find out about the glitch until this stuff hits the fan.
No, and then you can't get a hold of anybody, and you're at a at one point I thought – well, I'm calling, I'm navigating through this menu that takes 10 minutes to navigate through. And ultimately, I figured that when I reached the point where it was, okay, press this to talk to somebody, I would automatically get all of our representatives are busy, call back later and hang up. And I was actually reaching the point where I figured, well, they're just deflecting all of these calls with people who are calling to check on things, and they're taking the newer calls. And I get that. I think the site's horrible. That crashes. It's just they're not prepared for what's going on right now. And I really hope that when this whole thing is said and done, that they do something to upgrade what they need to upgrade so people don't have to go through this again, because it's got to be probably the most frustrating 4 weeks of my life that I've had in a very long time.
My friend, you definitely have you have my sympathies, but I'm glad everything got worked out for you. But you shouldn't have to go through all that.
Nah, but anybody else who's going through it, I recommend that they go get on their computer and email their state representatives, assembly and senate. I emailed the governor's office too, but I did that about 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and I haven't heard back from them yet. But email them, because they will have somebody get a hold of you. And depending on what the issue is and how long it's been, they will reach out. They have back channel contacts into the Department of Labor that they can reach out to that the normal person doesn't have. And they can look into progressing this along for those people.
All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate the call. What is frustrating you about COVID-19? The most frustrating thing about this is what? 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And we will have the President's Coronavirus Task Force meeting getting underway at some point after 5 o'clock. Don't know exactly when, because sometimes they say 5 and it's 5:15. Sometimes they say 5:15 and it's 5:28. So whenever it happens, you'll hear it here on WBEN. The President doesn't care about my schedule. By the way, those of you walking around your neighborhood, how many of you have realized exactly how uneven the sidewalk is on your street? Like, hey, when did that happen? You know, you're walking along and you, whoa, what the hell? Anyway, let's get back to the call. Steve in Amherst, it's your turn. Steve, you're on WBEN. Welcome. Steve, hello. Steve, are you there? Phil, I'll put that call on hold. I don't know what's going on unless X-Hamster is currently on the screen. Here is Bill in Marilla on WBEN. Bill, hi.
Tom, hey, let me tell you about what happened to me this morning. I'm at work. I'm one of the very essential construction workers. And I'm sitting outside the job site this morning, about 6:45, waiting for the job to open up and the crew to get there. I'm listening to Susan Rose on the radio, playing with my cell phone, flirting with another 30-day suspension on Facebook. And as I'm doing that, I got my window open. I'm watching the sun come up. I feel a presence in the middle of the street, and it's a guy walking towards me. I look at him. I know what he wants. He's got a quarter in his hand, and he's coming over to me, and he's going to beg me for money. I hit the window button. The window gets about halfway up. He's about an arm length away. And he starts coughing and hacking all over the side of my truck.
He's
all over. And it's like, what is this? What is going on in this society? This poor guy doesn't have a radio, doesn't have a TV. He has no idea what's going on in the world, but he's sick as a dog. He's out walking the streets, borrowing money from people, and coughing all over the place. They've got to do something about this homeless population of people that they're not getting the message to them. The rest of us are sick of it. We hear it constantly. But there is a whole nother portion of our population that doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, as far as your truck, what are you going to do about that? Because if he was COVID-19 positive, that can live for a while on metal.
Yeah, I'm screwed. I couldn't get the window up fast enough. I mean, I've used in the past 2 weeks more hand sanitizer than I've ever used in my life. I rub it on my face like cologne, you know, as you're washing it through your hands.
Yep.
I rub it all over my face. I got a beard. I'm rubbing it through the beard, the mustache.
You and me both.
I'm slathering it on like a 16-year-old boy going on his first date.
Well, just take it from me. Do not confuse hand sanitizer for lube.
Well, you know, well, not lube, but, you know, like Axe or something like that.
No, I was just making a very important health safety point.
Well, yes.
Because she will never talk to you again. I am glad you called. Thanks very much.
All right, take care.
All right, man, thanks. I don't know what to do about the homeless. Under the best of circumstances, it's an issue getting a message through. Many of the homeless have an underlying mental health issue and substance abuse issues, which often can be connected to mental health issues. And it's a great tragedy. And I don't know what to do about it, but I feel bad for the guy who had coughing all over his vehicle. What are you frustrated about in this COVID-19 epidemic? And I say it that way because I watch far too many British documentaries. Or would that be documentaries?
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yes, and of course, many of your favorite restaurants are still open for pickup and delivery, like our friends over at Rachel's. Delicious lunch today, by the way. Thank you, Henry and Hannah. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Phil Kennedy is our chief of staff behind the scenes. And as this COVID-19 thing wears on, over what are you most frustrated? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN, and it's Elliot in Buffalo. Elliot, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
For the last 10 years, I've been growing my own food in my yard. I'm an urban gardener. I grow from seeds, and I start usually the process in January, February with the peppers and the tomatoes. What's frustrating with me right now with this COVID-19 is they deemed certain industries to be the important ones, the ones that should be open that are a service to our community. But the other day I was, I'm short of a few plants. And so me and my buddy decided to go down to the nurseries. And when we approached the nurseries, it was like a ghost town. There was a couple trucks there, and I'm assuming it was the owners watching over the things that they've already started in those greenhouses. And why hasn't anyone authorized that backbone of the farmers and the people who provide those seedlings to start the food supply going?
That is an excellent point. Now, some of the other places where you can get plants, of course, are the big box stores that have garden centers attached to them.
I just learned, and I still have to go to a big box store here in this area, and my brother went to this big box store to get some garden supplies, and they said that the whole section has been closed off because it's unnecessary. It's not essential for us to live. And my livelihood is eating healthy and growing my own vegetables and sharing it with my community and my neighbors. And yet they have not, even raised the restrictions to allow, at least for the nurseries, so they don't lose the money from the inventory that they got, and at least distribute it to the grocery stores and allow us community gardeners to be able to buy those plants that we normally go directly to them.
Yeah, I think, all right, thank you. I definitely see where you're going with this. And it would seem to me that the ability to grow one's own vegetables could be called essential. There's got to be a way to work that out. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Tom in Cheektowaga. Tom, what is your biggest frustration with this COVID-19 saga? Tom, hello. He must be in the same place as that other guy because it was the same sound in the background. Here's Joe in Buffalo. Joe, you are on. Hello.
Hey, how's it going today?
Excellent.
Yeah, I have a comment about the safety in the prisons. Being it is that in my past I have gone to prison before, and I understand that the safety of the correctional officers is important. But in my experience, the prisoners are also going to suffer. Now, I don't hear anybody saying that they're worried about the prisoners' health. They're people too, and yet you don't hear anything about that. I've been in places where there is no health care in there. You get sick, they tell you to take an aspirin and drink lots of water. And you don't hear anything about how many people are sick in prisons, you know, what they're doing for them. Are they just leaving them in the prison, or are they taking them to hospitals? And, you know, that's basically just my comment right there.
Well, you know, in a situation like this, I think that some leniency for non-violent offenders might be called for to ease the strain on the COs, the prison, and the prison healthcare facilities. But I do have an issue with violent felons, like level 3 sex offenders being released. And like I said earlier, to me, a level 3 sex offender, if they get COVID-19 and die, the world's a better place.
Oh, I understand. You have your right to your opinion. And I don't see letting people out as being a fix-all. What I'm saying is the people that are in there right now and can't get out, who's taking care of them? Who's their advocate? Nobody knows. You know, you said that it was because the prisoners didn't want the COs to have masks. I doubt that was the issue.
Well, that is what I was told by two different people who are COs. One a retired CO, the other one who emailed me.
I understand that. But being in the system before, the problem probably was the prisoners were mad because they're not getting them either. Now, the prisoners, they don't leave. So they don't have a chance to be, you know, infected. Who brings it in? It's going to be the COs or visitors.
Or prisoners taken from Rikers.
That too. But when they're in there, who's taking care of them? You know, person in Rikers, or in, we'll say, Wendy. You know, they're there. There is no hospital there. It's basically like a high school nurse's office. You know what I mean? And these poor guys, regardless of what they did in their past, they still have the right to live, don't they?
No, if somebody got pinched for narcotics or something like that, or some white collar crime, we got to. A situation like that should not be a death sentence. And I'm not exactly sure at this point, you know, to be honest with you, at this point in this pandemic, prisoners are probably at the bottom of the list that people are caring about. And the people at the top of the list are the people in the front lines, the doctors and the nurses. And everybody else is somewhere in between. And prisoners are probably the last people anybody cares about, because in the minds of a lot of people, these are folks who did not live and play right with others. They're in prison for a reason. And part of being in prison is you give up and sacrifice your liberty. And you're basically, by committing a crime and being convicted of it, you're basically putting yourself at the mercy of situations like this. I mean, that's how a lot of people would see it.
I would disagree with you there, because considering that the population of the incarcerated in the United States outnumbers some countries, a lot of people have families there. And saying that most people think that they should just suffer because they're criminals, I would beg to differ. Because I'm guaranteed.
I think if you asked 100 people on the street, they'd probably give you an answer like I gave you.
I mean, that's safe to say. We're not asking 100 people.
Well, I'm speaking as a hypothetical.
Well, why don't we just put it out there? You know, if people have family that's incarcerated or people that don't have it in there, call and see if they care whether or not.
Well, I'm not going to let you hijack the show. I mean, if somebody has something they want to contribute as far as what most frustrates you, I'll be happy to hear from those folks, but I'm not going to turn this into, hey, if you've got a loved one who's incarcerated, give me a call, maybe on a separate show. But as I said, as far as most people are concerned, and I didn't say I said as far as most people are concerned, it seems to me that prisoners are pretty much last on the priority list of who they care about, for all the reasons I stated earlier. Now, is that right? No, probably not. But right now, I mean, we're in emergency mode. And as far as Chris Collins wanting his sentence, his jail to be put off until COVID-19 is taken care of, I don't know. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with anybody who's a nonviolent offender having their terms of incarceration being put off, because you know you should not going to prison on some nonviolent offense. No, it shouldn't be a death. It shouldn't be a death sentence for anybody. But I'm a lot less sympathetic to violent felons than I am people who are not violent offenders. That's me personally. I can't speak for everybody. Let's go to let's go to Diane in Buffalo. Diane, you're on.
Hi, I'm driving home from work, and I just recently started listening to your station, and I wanted to comment off of the guy who said he wanted to grow his own vegetables in his garden. And now, listening, I do work in a maximum New York State correctional facility, so I will comment on that, too. But I wanted to say, I noticed on Facebook a lot of people are sending bouquets of flowers to each other, and somebody sent one to an emergency room to all the nurses. And I thought that was a very nice gesture, but I thought it was odd because I would think bouquets of flowers are not essential.
I'm not going to sit here and argue. I
just assumed that all the galleries, like the florists that maybe are connected to the the big ones, the galleries that you can go in and get your yard stuff would be open.
Well, the guy was specifically talking about plants and seedlings.
Yeah, so there must be.
I'm not sure exactly what he grows in March and April, but. Yeah, no, not that, Phil. Probably not that.
Yeah, I'm thinking some of the nurseries must be open that are attached to, like, florists, because florists are sending flowers, and it seems like many people are getting them lately.
Would you want flowers right now delivered to your house?
No, I would want more personal protective gear because I am a medical worker, and I do work in a maximum facility, part of Department of Corrections and Office of Mental Health. And you are probably right. If you ask them, most people don't care about what happens in there, but believe it or not, a lot happens in there, and they are very well cared for. There's doctors, psychiatrists, dentists, there's all kinds of nurses, all different levels of nursing care in there. And they are receiving right now, I would have to say, better care than some people out in society. They are receiving excellent care. And we are concerned, just like the people in society, you know, of getting sick. And we are taking all precautions to make sure that, you know, we don't bring that COVID into the facility and we don't make people sick.
So why do you have any thoughts on why New York State is releasing level 3 sex offenders, particularly in Monroe County?
I work at a maximum center, you know, facility, and I do not believe they're letting anybody out of the mats. What they do out there and who they let out, I would have to guess. I really don't know.
Yeah, I put the story up on my Facebook page. You can check it out.
There's probably people that are nearing their parole and they were going to be released anyway, or people that have completed all the programs. I am sure they would not release dangerous people.
Now, level 3 sex offender, by definition, is a dangerous person likely to reoffend.
And there are some people out in our town, in our society right now that have already served their time, and they might reoffend. And there might be new people out there that we pass every day that might offend. There's a lot of people out there, you know. Just knowing how they run the system and how many people are involved, they would not put anybody out that they thought was going to offend. It's a very dynamic, complex system. There's a lot of people involved in all the steps.
I don't know. I saw one of the investigative shows. There was a See No Evil the other night, where in fact the suspect, a guy in England, was a convicted. Was it England? That doesn't matter. Was a convicted rapist, and then went out and kidnapped a young lady in the guise of a taxi driver. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Your biggest frustration about COVID-19, we're waiting on the White House Coronavirus Task Force update. Let's go to Daryl in Medina. Daryl, you are on. Hello.
I am. Good afternoon, Tom. I just heard something today that really got me up going. What would you say and I'm going to have to omit the name of the school. There's a reason why, and I would explain it to you.
Okay, we don't need such a preamble. What's the point?
No. A kid went away for spring break, came back to school. Somebody in his family had the virus. Never said a word to anybody. He's been running all over campus, and now he's got it. Needless to say, he has created a super mess for somebody.
That information speaks for itself. Obviously, personal irresponsibility, and I don't know what you do about that. There's no cure for stupid. Here is Tom in Chickawaga. You're on. Hello.
Oh, hello, Tom. The original thing was calling about your peeve about the whole thing.
Well, your frustration.
A lot of things in my life are limited to what I can do, and some people, like, why are you out walking around? Why are you, why are you doing this? Other people, your whole life is really turned upside down, which is a lot of people's, okay?
Yep.
That's it. That's all I can add is, like, you listen to your political leaders, and where does it go? It's 50-50. It's like, do you put a curve on everything or try to flatten it, or do you open up certain things, or, how long is this going to go on, and how long is it going to end? Because
no, we don't know when it's going to end. We know it's going to go on at least until the end of this month, April 30th, at least. I mean, we're talking about 100,000, 200,000 deaths. We could see thousands of deaths in Erie County, depending on the modeling and how accurate the modeling turns out to be. President yesterday and his coronavirus task force people, they looked absolutely grim, to be honest with you, absolutely grim. What do you want me to do here, Phil? Another call? Or we're waiting on today's briefing. You want me there? It's coming up in 1 minute. One more call. Okay. Usually you hold one finger up at me, and it means something else. Here is Mike in West Seneca. Mike, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Just wanted to call with a quick comment regarding the woman that just called in about the Department of Corrections not releasing inmates that they would suspect would be at a high high risk to reoffend. They absolutely would. I work for the Department of Corrections, and from my experience and my opinion, and this is just one guy's opinion, the state has been letting inmates and parolees out of jail and off the parole books at alarming rates in the last couple of years. And for Cuomo, it's number one, it's a money thing, and number two, it's politically expedient. So I just want to make that clear for the folks that reside in New York, that they would and will let inmates out of jail that are a risk to society. So, and they have many times already. So just, I want people to be aware.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've got a lot more compassion for nonviolent offenders than I do for violent offenders, particularly habitual violent offenders.
Right.
Correct.
I'm glad you called. Take care of the little one.
Yep.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.